Well, I'm talking about God's power to change you. We're enjoying, many people I know have been reading the book, God's Power to Change by Rick Warren, that we sold here for the last about couple of months or so. And several people have said what a blessing that book is to them. And because that's what it's all about, is transformation. I mean, if God can't transform us, if he can't transform us, then how is he going to transform things for us? But God can. But what we're finding out, just the same way as God doing things for us, God also has to have our cooperation and doing things in us and through us, changing us. Now, a lot of times we may come to the Lord and we just want to sign on the dotted line and put our name down ready for heaven, and we're not too interested in change, that we like what we are here. But not so with the true believer. A true believer, when they come to the Lord, now their sense of humility, there's a sense of that I want to be like Jesus. And so in every true believer's heart, there should be that. A real desire to be transformed into the image of Jesus. And so that's in us. It's inbred into us. It's part of our DNA, is to come away from that old person that we were and to be changed or transformed into that new kind of person that God has for us. And, you know, it's just real important. Not only is it a benefit for us personally, but it's also a benefit for the world. As the world sees transformation take place in you and I, then it shows them that God cares and God wants to do some wonderful things in them. And one of the worst advertisements for the kingdom of God is for a believer not to live like a believer. That's right. For a believer to be discouraged and downcast, just like the world. Think about your problems like the world. We can't do that. As a believer, we've been transformed. Now, if your conversation works right in with the world, something's wrong. You should no longer be drawn to darkness. There should be a drawing inside you that's pulling you into light. And there should be a real desire for transformation that takes place in our life. Now, in the Bible, and it places it, characterizes it in many ways. One way it does is as fruit. There should be fruit in the life of a believer. You know, I'm really not a planter anymore. Rick and I was talking about that up in the hospital the other day. But I had all the cotton fields and tomato fields I wanted 2 years ago. But now, I married one that didn't have it, so she's enjoying it now, Jimmy. And so, but one thing that I watch Elaine time after time, I've watched her kill many a fruit tree. and so she's still trying. But in that process of it, if it's a healthy tree, if it's a live tree, it's going to bear fruit. And you got to know that if you're alive, there should be a product coming out of your life. And the Bible calls it a different kind of fruit. Now, the fruit of the world is frustration, discouragement, anger, resentment, bitterness, and all of those things. But you should be overcoming those areas. We should be. We should be overcoming all the time those bad fruits in our life, and we should be changing, transforming. You know, there was a time that you could say I was a worrywart, but you shouldn't be that anymore, because believers are not allowed to do that. I think it's 42 times in the Bible that the Bible tells us not to worry. A command, Charles, tells us not to worry. And so, you know, we may be prone to that in our old nature, but we've got to be transformed by the power of God. We've got to just be able to handle our difficulties differently. We've got to handle our difficulties differently. We've got to handle our successes differently. We've got to handle our bad times differently. We've got to handle our good times differently. As a believer, God's in the process of changing how we deal with life as a whole. Amen? Or it's the power to change me. Now, we've been on the book, and I pray that book's been a blessing to you. We're in and out of that book, and we're going to be going probably through about half of the summer on this same series, talking about God's power to change me. Stephen and I, right now, we're just trying to offer you the tools, two major tools for God can bring change in our life. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says, "You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. This is God speaking here. It says, sin is crouching at the door and is eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. That's what the Bible says. And I believe so appropriately talks about it's crouching at our house door. And it's a picture here of a lion sitting right outside your front door, waiting at a moment's time to be able to jump up and take a hold of you and destroy you. But the Lord said, you've got to master it. It's got to be mastered. It's not that it is mastered, but God must master it. It's something that's ongoing in my life. I must master this thing. I want to talk to you today about mastering your emotions. I want to talk to you about mastering those negative emotions inside of us. And you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not emotional. But I find that everybody is. You may not have certain emotions. You may not have an emotion of overjoy. But some of those very same people have that emotion of anger and bitterness. You may not fight the emotion of sadness. But somewhere, our emotions must be transformed. There's not any of us that we come to Christ with proper emotions in our life. Some things may be more a battle for me than for you. And some things may be more of a battle for you than for I. But the truth is, each one of us must be able to master these things. Because I'm telling you what, emotions is as a lion. It's as a deadly lion. Your life will never go any further. You'll never be any happy. You'll never find an ongoing, consistent happiness in your life until you allow the power of Christ to begin to master those negative emotions. And we call that spiritual warfare. There's two arenas that must be mastered. The Bible says, submitting yourself, therefore, to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Talking about the war that is within us. And there's three enemies that's against us, the world, Satan, and the old nature. Now, Satan is that comes against me. But the world is that which tries to surround me and conform me to it. But my own nature is the battle within me. Now, the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 22, it says, I love God's law with all my heart. I love God's law with all my heart. This is an emotional statement. In the New Testament and in the Old Testament too, when you find the word heart, you're dealing most of the time with your emotional self. When you find the word, we find two areas that must be controlled in our life or must be mastered. One of the arenas is our thought life. Unless I'm willing to fight for my thought life, you know, some people don't even have the revelation that they can even control their thoughts. And maybe you've allowed your thoughts to run rampant for so many years. And maybe those things have something to where it feels like something I can't do. But you can. God has empowered you. God would never, ever tell you to do anything without willingness to empower us to do it. So for the Lord to tell me that I must allow his thoughts to become my thoughts, then God tells me he's willing to give me the power to do that. My thought life must be changed, and then my emotional life must be mastered. Romans chapter 27, now what it said is that I love your law. The verse before this said, I love your law with all my heart. But then the next verse gives a problem. But there's another power within me. It said, not only is my heart loving God, it said, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. There's something else going on. I love God. Now, how many times, I tell you what, I've seen this to drastic lengths. I've had a person say that they love God at one moment, and they commit horrible, horrible acts. Horrible things on other people. There's this battle that takes place within us. And we must allow God by His Holy Spirit to help us to master that. Amen? He said, but there's another power within me that's not loving God. There's a power that's in me that's fighting against God. This power makes me a slave. That's why I said, it's trying to enslave me. That's the same way that God in me is trying to draw me closer to Him. There's also a power within me that's working against me, trying to make me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And then verse 17 says, I can't help myself because I'm no longer doing it. It's sin inside me. I want to tell you what, if the Lord left us in that position with that scripture, we'd be of all men most miserable. A desire for God, but the inability to change. That's why I've mentioned to you before, I'm so thankful for Romans chapter 8. Because Romans chapter 8 is the answer for Romans chapter 7. Now, in the original writing, you know, there was no chapter and verses. I know we think there are. We consider them holy so many times. But the chapter and verses, those divisions was done by man, to where that we can some way can categorize things in the Bible and go to them. Because originally it wasn't that way. It was one continuous reading as a letter. And in the letter, God said, in chapter 7, He said, if you find yourself in a place to where you have a love for God in your heart, but another power in you that keeps trying to enslave you to this sins that you no longer want to be a part of, acting, feeling, doing in a way that no longer want that, then Romans chapter 8 comes with the solution. I'm going to tell you the answer to every person's life in changing is Romans chapter 8, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 7 is just me and my desires. Romans chapter 8, God began to tell me, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, on Wednesday nights, I started this past Wednesday night talking about how to develop a closer place relationship with the Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is, each one of us must come to a place of surrender in our life to where our relationship with the Holy Spirit is developed and worked to a place where I come to a place where I'm able to receive from the Holy Spirit. A lot of times people just treat the Holy Spirit as a title, as a honored recognition. But God put it as a power. God left it here on this earth to us as the ability to transform my life. Because I'm no longer in it just myself. God has placed within us a wonderful power. Everybody say a power of the Holy Spirit. And I must come to a place to where I'm able to receive greater measures of it. You have to learn everything you do in this life. No one came into this life talking. No one came into this life walking. Everything you do is a learned process here. The same way with the Holy Spirit. I must learn in my life to yield myself to the Holy Spirit to where I can begin to draw His strength into my life. If I don't learn that, I'll never have God's power within me. If I don't learn to draw power, draw from the true strength of the Lord into my life, then I'm going to be doing life on my own. I may have my ticket punched for heaven, but this life is going to be miserable. Because when God tells me to master my emotions with His power, that means one day I'm going to be happy and the next day I'm going to be sad. One day I'm going to be glad. One day I'm going to be mad. And it's not fun living any kind of life with fluctuating emotions. The stability in your life brings happiness and joy. Being able to handle the issues, the circumstances, the storms, the dilemmas of life with a stability inside you. You have no idea of what tomorrow may bring. But if you will allow God to master your thoughts and to master your emotions, you know that whatever tomorrow brings, that the master will use you to control it and bring you through it for the glory of God. Amen. So God must have, we must allow him to master us. Amen. All right. It describes the frustration. The problem is there's this huge battle going on within us. And it's the battle said, we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. You got to know that. There's a war going on inside you, but you can't fight it like you fight other things. Oh, somebody said, well, I'll just get my willpower strong enough. Your willpower is no match for the demonic powers of the enemy. Your willpower, your self-help can just go so far. What willpower will do for you, it'll move you into pride over the little issues that you're seemingly okay in. And then it will move you into fear over those arenas that you know you can't handle. God desires to bring forth a power of his spirit in our life. All right, the Bible says that we don't wage war, but the Bible says, but we use God's mighty weapon. Somebody say, I'm going to use God's mighty weapon. I'm going to use God's mighty weapon to master the things in me that's not right. And said, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and destroy false arguments. I use God's mighty weapons, not those made by men, to knock down the devil's stronghold. I use God's mighty weapons. I use God's power to knock down the strongholds. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture rebellious thoughts. Like I said earlier, some people have no idea that they can even master their thoughts. But God says here, by using his weapons, by using his battle, that God can help you to capture rebellious thoughts in your life. Amen. And teach them to obey Christ. Now, Ezekiel 11:15, this verse says, what you are saying, this is what God said. What you are saying, I know every thought. God says, I know what you're saying, but I know every thought. I know whether you're mastering those thoughts. You may not can help a thought being projected to you, but you can help that thought staying there and you accepting that as your thought life. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be a pin cushion for the devil. You don't have to allow the devil to penetrate you with his thoughts. The devil is going to present them to you because the Bible says that he has these arrows. The Bible calls them poisonous arrows. But through the shield of your faith, you have the power to not allow those arrows that the devil is trying to put into your life. You have the power not to allow them to stay there. Amen. Everybody say, God wants to change my life. That's just where we got to go. God wants to change my life. God wants to change me. And that's what the Bible says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. This is a command of the Lord. Same type of command that says, do not steal. Do not lie. The same command says, be transformed. Now, God would never ask us to do anything that he wasn't willing to give us the power to do it. You may have never taken a hold to it, but you can know this. God has the power available for me to master my emotions and for me to master my thought life. God has the power available. I do not have to allow the devil's thoughts and the devil's emotions to no longer rule my life. Amen. There's two major things I got to do. I got to change my mind. I got to change how I think about things. Now, thoughts is just one shot of a thinking process that the devil is trying to develop in you. How you think about your family. how you think about when somebody does you wrong. How you think about issues that would seem to frighten you. You master them by one thought at a time. But those thoughts work together with other thoughts to form a thinking attitude that becomes a stronghold in our life. Now, once the devil has developed a stronghold, now a lot of men have a stronghold how they think about women. A lot of women have a stronghold how they think about men. A lot of men and women both have strongholds how they feel about marriage, what they think about marriage. A lot of people have strongholds when it comes to thinking about money. When they think things about living for God and serving God and what God's asking out of your life. A lot of times those strongholds control it, and they have the power to control you. If you're not willing to pull those strongholds down, then your life will never change. You are a product of a continuous playing of the same story in your life over and over again. But we have an opportunity. Can you say amen? We have an opportunity for change in our life. Change my mind, then change how I feel. God's power to master my emotions. All right, and the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, says, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him. That's what God's wanting to do. That is the power of change. God wants to make me more and more like Him. God's power, God's transforming power, the Bible says, be you transformed. It's a command that God expects me to follow. It's a process of being more and more like Him. Now, if you want to find out how much you're like the Lord, you can go to your emotional meter. There's not a one of us. Your emotions are not to control you. They're to tell you when you believe lies. Immediately you can begin to think in your life, somebody said, well, you know, I believe the truth. You can believe a thought of truth and still yet your thinking processes be a stronghold. Because your thinking processes is all the thoughts that you have collectively put together that's formed your view of things, your view of people. Well, I'm just not going to allow them to do me that way anymore. Aren't you tired of just thinking your own way through things? Well, I can put up with anybody, but I can't put up with that. Aren't you tired of trying to think your own, allowing strongholds to control your life? Well, I'm not going to let my life be a pincushion for other people. I'm not saying there's not elements of truth in these. But what they become strongholds that only allow you to think about people and things in that way. And I want you to know, that's your way. It's not the way other people think. It's certainly not the way everybody thinks. And it certainly is not the truth. It's when we've allowed the devil to place thoughts in our mind dealing with hurts and pains and difficulties of our past. We've allowed and to develop these strongholds of the way we deal with people. So God gives us an emotional thermometer inside of us. When that thermometer moves into sadness, that tells me something. I'm not believing something right about my situation that I'm facing. When I move into anger, that tells me I'm not believing something right. Something right about my circumstance. And when I mention anger, when I talk about it, may be a possibility that we're believing wrong. That almost brings anger in some people. You telling me that I'm wrong? No, I'm telling you, there's strongholds. And your emotions, your negative emotions, let you know when there's lies that have been put in my life that I've accepted as my own. And now they have, because I've accepted them, they have become a stronghold in my mind. And as long as those strongholds are there, I will not be able to master my emotions. My emotions will master me. The Bible says you can't be friends with an angry person. A lot of times you say, well, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't understand why people How come I can't get close to people? Well, it's usually what it has to do is with those emotions that are in us that's out of control. We may allow our own emotions, but we don't trust other people's renegade emotions. I'll be honest with you. If I know that you're easily angered, I'm just going to be so close a friend to you. Because I know at any moment, it's like a snake. It can turn on you and try to take me out. Amen. That's why if you live in a depressed life, if you're allowing the depressions to pull you down, then that thing can shut you off from the very people that God wants to send to help me. People don't trust people that are controlled by their emotions. Although we will allow it ourselves in us, we'll argue to defend our own emotions. But we don't trust it in other people. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse 10 said, he replied, I heard you walk in the garden. This is Adam speaking. He said, I heard you, God, coming, and I was afraid. The first place fear has ever been mentioned. The first fear that ever happened to planet Earth in the human existence. Fear. And then God's question that, who told you that? Who told you that you had to be afraid? Who told you that? This is such a secret of the Lord. God's revealing that fear is based on something that's been told me. Something I've accepted, something I believed. Amen. All right, now Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, now change your mind and your attitude. Now, attitudes are the way I my thinking process. The attitudes are what I develop. My attitudes toward you, my attitudes toward life, my attitudes toward everything, my attitudes toward people, my attitudes toward my family, see. Those are these processes, these linked thoughts that are put together that I've reached out and claimed as my own. And now they have an emotion tied with them. And when emotion gets tied to it, you don't even have to think the thoughts anymore. Some of you get mad and you have no idea why you're mad. Some of you get sad and you have no idea why you're sad. I said, why are you sad? I'm just having a sad day. What made you sad? No, I don't know. I'm just having a sad day. Or I'm just having a mad day. I mean, I'm not having this Monday situation going on. I'm just saying. These attitudes of life that literally began to control us, control our relationships, and control what we do for God. And the worst thing that they all do is they control my testimony for Jesus. Because at the very time that I'm trying to tell you how much I love the Lord, an emotion that's in control of my life will cause me to act and react a way in front of you that would totally destroy my testimony. And I want to stand before you and tell you that I trust God. But it's hard to tell you that I trust God if I'm letting my present battle get me down. So the reason that it's been sent there is to destroy my testimony. The greatest valued thing any of us have is our testimony of trust in Him. The greatest thing that we have to shout to all the world is that we trust God. Amen. And then the emotional stability of all of our lives have been set up by the enemy to try to destroy those testimonies. The Bible says it's the way I change from this. I know I'm a believer, but I look like that so many times, don't you? When God has meant for me to look like that. The power of transformation is miraculous. I have part in it. Now, if I was just left to Romans chapter 7, I would have no power to do anything about it. But through the power of Romans chapter 8, I can. Amen. Now, Revelation 2:21 said, I gave her time to change her mind and her attitudes. I believe that's what it is with us. God's given us time. People that play around with emotions, they're playing around with allowing emotions to be inside our life. They're allowed destructive. We're like a time bomb. Because at the time that you walk into the doctor's office and they give you that report, if you haven't mastered your emotions, if you haven't mastered your thought life, I dare say it's going to be probably a little victory that's going to be able to come into your life. The morning you get up and the stock market's crashed and the banks have failed, see, if you haven't mastered your emotions, if you have not mastered your thought life, your life would drastically change. And some people just, they're so controlled by their emotions, to where they even develop a whole ritual of being mad at somebody because they feel like somebody don't like them. Things like that's what's been sent to cut you off and to keep you from the very people that you would need one day to pray you through things. If you've allowed these ungodly things to control you, the very people that God intends, God sees your future just like He sees your present. God sees what the devil is going to send against your life next week. He sees what the devil is going to send against your marriage next year. God sees what health issues are going to be coming and dealing with. And if you've not mastered these things through the power, if you've not allowed God to transform you, when you hit those things, they'll carry you out. They'll take you out. That was the devil's intention. The devil's intention was to get you so that. But now somebody said, well, I just do away with my emotions. No, that can't be, because we serve an emotional God. We serve a God that loves us. In fact, right now, you know what God is in heaven doing? He's rejoicing over us. We serve a God that uses those emotions to be wonderful. And God knows for us to be able to experience true happiness in our life, we're going to have to learn to experience the right kind of emotions by believing right things in our life. Amen? Amen. It's the process of my thoughts and my emotions coming together. In the process, Mark chapter 12 says the most important commandment is this: you must love the Lord your God. Now, this is the most important commandment in all the Bible. I'm to love God with all my heart, with all my emotions. I am to love God. I am to love God. See, because the truth of the matter is, not only does God want you to master your emotions, God wants to be able to direct your emotions. The problem is, they're so misdirected. As long as they control your life, they're misdirected. You get angry at the very thing you shouldn't get angry at. And then there is no energy of anger to be mad at the very thing you need to be mad at. God wants you to master your emotions, so God by His Holy Spirit can begin to direct your emotions. I'm so mad at Him, I can't stand to be in His presence, we say. God says, if you could just see, if you would just grow enough spiritually to where I could take that anger that you're trying to disclose towards somebody that I'm trying to change, if you could take that anger and put it on the real enemy, the arch enemy of your soul, God says, the very one that I'm angry at for destroying you, for fighting against you. The only way you'll ever be effective in warfare, spiritual warfare, the only way is to master your emotions, where your emotions are no longer misdirected, but they become directed. Even the, somebody said, you know, I just hate Him for doing that. Do you not understand? That's got to be mastered. That's a feeling. But God wants to direct it, because God tells us to hate evil. God Himself hates evil. Until we come to a place to where we can allow our emotions to be surrendered to God and able to master them, where they don't turn us against people and against circumstances and against mates and against children and against bosses and against all of these, see. As long as we're emotionally controlled, we're of not much value to the kingdom of God. But the moment you begin to master your emotions And then you're able to surrender your emotions to God. The Lord will use you as a fighting tool for his kingdom. To totally annihilate Satan's kingdom against you. Somebody says, I can't believe God let this happen to me. God didn't let that happen to you. Don't you not know? God is not letting things happen to you. The truth of the matter is, there's very few things that happen on this earth that is God's will. Somebody said, well, God's in control of everything. You need to throw that theology away from there. You think God's in control of people starving to death across this world? You think God's in control of men raping children? You think God's in control of that stuff? Very little is God in control of. Now, there will be a day when he comes back, he's going to set up his rule again. But now, his rule of your life comes through you. What that means is, if God's will is going to happen in your life, you're going to have to come to a place to where you walk with God in agreement, mastering your emotions, bringing your mind, resisting, redirecting your thought life to think like God. When we were willing to fight that kind of warfare, then you can say, God's will happen in my life. But as long as you're siding with the enemy, all the enemy has to do is send you a late bill. Or the enemy, all he has to do is have a doctor give you a bad report. Or all the enemy has to do is cause him to come home a little mad that day. Or cause those kids, or you to hear this about your children. If you're allowing those things to disturb you, you're not handling them in faith and you're cutting God out. That's why Jesus, over and over again, he said, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. So we've got to master our emotions. First thing we've got to do, we've got to start marking them. This thing is not right. This feeling is not right. Got to start marking them. Then the next thing you've got to do, you've got to start Xing them. You've got to begin to allow God's power in you. See, some of you got up this morning and walked out without asking God for his strength to be in you. Some of you haven't asked God for his strength and his power to be in you all week when that's given to us over and over and over in the New Testament. That I am to pray for God's strength in me, for God's strength to be able to control my life. If you're going to live life normal, God's blessing of your life is never, it's going to always be limited. But if you will come to begin to master the things that God tells you to master, surrender to the things that God tells you to surrender to, and believe the things that God calls you to believe, if I'm willing to do that, then I can trust that all things in my life are working together for good. Because that's Romans chapter 8. You know, verse 27 is not just a blind promise. I use it just like you do. I use it in blind. I say, oh, all things work together. That's not the beginning of this verse. The beginning starts like this. If I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through me, if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to empower me, if I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to change me, then I can be assured that all things will work together for good. If I'm walking with God as God calls me to walk with him, then I can be assured that all things will work together. If I'm letting my emotions control me, I can't be assured. So God said, I gave you time to change your attitude. God's given us time. Before the doctor report, before the world falls out, before the kids go astray, what? God's given you time to get yourself with Him. So His power can be ready to meet the odds that come against you. God's given us time. God's given us time to change. God's given us time so that when that enemy knocks on our door, he's crouching there as that lion, I can walk there and say, "You're mastered. You already have been mastered by Jesus." Amen. So, Lord, I thank you for your grace and your power. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. And, Lord, we want to thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. How many that you say, "You know, Jerry, I know that my emotions are really trying to ruin my life. And is there anybody, I want you to just stand. And I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to put an empowerment inside your life to begin to yield to that will begin to help us handle those emotional things that try to pull us out of faith and try to pull us away from God and try to pull us aside. Pray, God. Lord, you see these that are standing right now. Lord, we recognize we're marking our emotions, Lord. We start off by marking them. We're marking them and realize, God, how the enemy has tried to pull us out of faith and pull us off course and pull us out of your plan and pull us out of the way that we deal with life because we've allowed these areas to have control in our life. But Lord, we may have not even known that we could change them. But Lord, through the power of change, you can help me. Even this old dog, Lord, can learn new tricks. And I believe in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Come on, take your little hands and reach them up toward the Lord. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, through the power. Say it with me out loud. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, you can change me. You can change me. You can change me.